Today I'm in Derby with Rosie Arnott, who I've remembered not to call Rosie Hughes.
unlike
my friend yesterday who got married more than 20 years ago, who I called by the wrong name. So that's yes. So Rosie, yes. Where did we first meet?
Well, I can't remember the exact situation, but it was probably at church, and I was probably about 13, I think, and you were my Sunday school leader.
What was your Sunday school teacher?
Sunday school teacher, yeah. Is it about then? 11, 12, 13? Something around then.
We moved to Winford in 1997.
Okay.
So how old would you have been then?
13.
Okay, so around about when you were 13.
Yes.
Do you drink tea?
I do.
And what's your favourite sort of tea?
Depends on the time of day. So I'm having Earl Grey at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like a normal cup of tea and maybe Red Bush before bed because it's decaf.
How do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
So I am an eternal optimist.
This is true.
I would... If I had to come down the fence on one side or the other, I'd go with sleeping rather than dying. I think that if it is going to engage with new people into the church, it does need to change the way it does church. If we're talking about... Yes, it's a church, isn't it, we're talking about?
Well, Christianity.
Christianity. If the thing is that people often see Christianity as the church... because of the way that it is historically been seen in the UK. And if the church wants to engage people in Christianity for the future, I think it does need to change the way that it portrays itself and engages people. Something that really warmed my heart this last weekend was the sermon at Meghan and Harry's wedding. The way that, and really that just sums up for me what Christianity should be about. And I think that gets lost in all the extra stuff that happens and gets shown in the news about the church. And I think that if we could focus more on those core beliefs, the core understanding of the amazing awesomeness of God's love, that would take us a long way to engaging better, engaging people better, and showing what really Christianity is about, not all these other issues that get pushed to the front and aren't really, you know, the essence of what it is to be a Christian and the... knowing the love of God for yourself.
Tell me about the breakfast service at St Paul's and why you would feel comfortable taking someone who isn't a Christian along to it.
Okay. So we go to two churches. One is, it labels itself as Charismatic Evangelical, which is St Alkmund's Church. And then our local church is our local C of E church called St Paul's. And once a month they have a cafe-style service in their church hall, which is very relaxed. They have breakfast, they have newspapers on the tables, and you just get to sit, chat. There's, I think that the good thing about it is there's not like a sit up, sit down, here's a place for you to sit, here's a worship time, you know, sort of structure. It's just, because of its relaxed atmosphere, and there is a talk about God. And we're going through a really good series at the moment from a book talking about the different characteristics of God. God as a friend or something. And so it sort of links it very easily to everyday life, I guess. They also have a craft table, which is great for the girls, and the crafts are normally great as well. So you feel like everyone's included, so anybody could go along. The children are involved in it, but you don't feel they sort of take over. And there's also a chance to sit and chat and discuss things between your neighbours. And it's all ages. You just feel like anybody could go. They wouldn't need to know anything about how church works to be able to just engage if they wanted to. And the amount of engagement you can do is as much or as little as you like.
One of the things I'm quite interested in is that families who don't get very much time together, I sense, don't necessarily want to be separated for a church service, that they would rather be together rather than sending children off to Sunday school. Mm. I don't know what your personal opinion of that is.
I quite like having the time when they're out, because then you can kind of focus more. So, like, particularly if you wanted to go and, you know, talk to someone about having some prayer, or if you wanted to actually be able to engage more with a sermon or with a worship time, it's much easier to do that when you've got really small children, like we do, when you're not having to have eyes in the back of your head. But I think on the flip side, being able to show them what we're doing and being able to engage them and saying, you know, that this is our church family and it's not just about them being out and then coming back in again, but that togetherness, I think, is really important as well. I like a mix, I guess, which is what we get by sort of... so our St Alkmund's Church once a month does something called a fluid service when everyone is in there. Mm-hmm. But I just, yeah, I think a mix for me is ideal.
This is a question I asked another doctor last night. How does your faith inform your medical practice?
So I guess the difficulty is, from a patient perspective, that I don't feel I can openly share my faith with my patients. Which in some ways sometimes is frustrating, particularly working in elderly care, where we often have patients who are nearing the end of their lives, and you want to try and help them have a good quality at the end of that life. And particularly patients' relatives as well, and you see them getting quite distressed at times and wanting to comfort them, and knowing that as a Christian, I know that I believe in a God who comforts and supports people, and sometimes it's frustrating. I can't share that sense of comfort that I get from my faith with people who are struggling.
Are you allowed to offer to say to the chap? Refer them to the chaplain.
So that's what I do. So I say, would you like any chaplaincy support? We have a chaplaincy service. Most of the time people say no.
Really? Mm. Gosh, I don't know why that surprises me. Do you think that because the chaplain is a scary vicar type person?
I don't know. People say, oh no, they didn't really believe. Or, oh no, I don't really need that. That seems to be the response I've had. So I do try and offer that. I'm trying to remember the last time that someone actually took me up on the offer. I can't, actually.
That's very interesting. Mm. I think I'll ask one of my other doctor friends who works in a kind of geriatric setting about that, because I think that's really quite interesting.
The more ability I have is actually with my fellow, the people I'm working with. So I find being a doctor, with fellow doctors, I come across a lot of people from other backgrounds that I wouldn't actually come across in my normal everyday life. I obviously work with people, a lot of people from different countries, different faiths, and you know, particularly during Ramadan and things, where people from Muslim faith are often sharing what's going on with them in their lives. I find it easier to share with people who I'm working with, and you know, they've asked what you're doing at the weekend, and I went to church, and you know, that sort of thing.
Do you think your faith influenced your decision to become a doctor? Or to apply for medicine, because that's all anyone themselves does, isn't it? Because getting into medicine is...
Yes. So there was... I was searching when I was going to apply to become a doctor. And asking God, is this the right thing to do? And three or four people gave me the verse. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And I very much felt through that I didn't have to be a doctor for God's plans to be worked through me, but that there was if I wanted to be, then he could work through that, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So I didn't feel a calling, but I feel that I can do a lot through being a doctor to work out a lot of what we are called to be as Christians from the Bible. So particularly around social justice and supporting people. Being a doctor is a very easy way to fulfil that, I guess, because it's a very obvious, very immediate way of supporting and working at my faith, I guess. Did it influence me becoming a geriatrician? So I guess as a geriatrician, I feel very passionately about good care in old age and supporting those particularly who sort of can't speak for themselves.
So being a geriatrician, I guess, kind of fulfills that caring for widows and orphans type of vocation that we have as Christians.
Yes. Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it.
The next question is a bit easier, possibly. What's the most fun we've ever had that's broadcastable?
I think it would have to be going to Spring Harvest when your daughter was extremely small and we all stayed in one big chalet. And I think raiding whatever it was at the Spring Harvest site for old pallets and burning them on the beach was great fun.
It was a week of quite fun. I remember getting the boys to cook the sausages and then and people being astounded that we were making the boys cook. Richard and Adam and your brother had to cook one of the meals, and I think that was a bit of a surprise for them to find themselves on the cooking register.
There was also the where have we hidden Tigger today.
Yes,
Tigger I think found his way into the oven. And so the Tigger was a little a cuddly Tigger, and I think it was on that particular trip we played Where is Tigger Hiding Today.
I think it probably was that Tigger was hidden in many places. What's your favourite thing beginning with T?
Well, there are lots of fun things to begin with T. This is me trying to procrastinate because I haven't thought of the answer to the question before today. And I can't say any of my children because they don't begin with the letter T.
No.
Or my husband, because he doesn't begin with the letter T.
No, but I have a T in my name.
You do have a T in your name, that's right.
But it's after Batista, and it's not the beginning.
I know. I quite like trams. I get to the tram to work every day. But that it makes me happy.
Does it start with T?
It does start with the letter T, and it makes Mummy's commute to work much easier.
So Where do you get the tram from?
I get the tram from
the tram place.
It's just off the A52 on the way to Nottingham at a place called Toton Lane. And then it's about 20 minutes on the tram to work. And it stops at my place of work, which is Queen's Medical Centre, Nottingham.
Is it like a park and ride?
Park and ride tram. It's great.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes. Misses all the traffic. Makes me very happy.
And do you get a chance to do anything whilst you're on the tram, or do you just sit and look out the window?
I generally play on my phone. Phone people. Occasionally do emails. It's all very boring, I'm afraid.
And you don't have a tram book?
I don't have a tram book, but I really should. That's a good idea. Maybe I should think about a tram book. I do have a book club book.
Right.
That'd be a good idea.
Esther, could you just...
Esther?
Helen is sensible for 20 seconds.
Ah.
OK. count to 20 in your head. Thank you ever so much for having me for a cup of tea today, Rosie.
Thank you, Janet. It's been my pleasure.